For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's May 28th. This is a pre-Shavuos shiur. I had said that perhaps we would do a woman's role in Shavuos. This is more generic than that, but we'll tie it in. We know that Eliyahu Navi in his day was the lead Navi. In his day, there was such a position of being the top Navi. Even though there were definitely other Nevi'im in his time, there were actually hundreds of thousands of Nevi'im in the days of Eliyahu Navi, but he was the number one Navi of his day. When Eliyahu Navi leaves this world, we know that his successor was his Talmud, Elisha. Elisha was Mishamish Eliyahu, and he became the lead Navi after Eliyahu Navi leaves this world. Now, when Eliyahu Navi is leaving, he says to Elisha, "What do you want me to do for you? Ask of me anything you want before I leave. So before I go, is there something that you'd like me to do for you?" So Elisha says, "I would like pishnayim beruchacha. I would like double your ruach," which Chazal understand to mean that he would get double the nisim that Eliyahu Navi did. Eliyahu Navi brought two people back to life. Eliyahu Navi brought one person back to life. Elisha would bring two people back to life. V'chahena v'chahena. Whatever Eliyahu was able to do, Elisha could do double. Eliyahu says to him, that's difficult for me to do. I can't give you more than I have. If you're zeicher to see me go up in Shamayim, then you'll be zeicher to it. If not, not. So he does. He sees Eliyahu go up in a rechev esh and susei esh. He sees Eliyahu go up, and Eliyahu leaves behind his aderes, his cloak. Elisha picks up the aderes, and now Elisha has double the ruach of Eliyahu Navi. The first way this manifests itself is that where Eliyahu went up to Shamayim was in Eiver HaYarden. They crossed the Yarden on the way from Yericho. They crossed the Yarden. They came to the Eiver HaYarden. That's where Eliyahu went up to Shamayim. And when they crossed, Eliyahu hit the Yarden with his aderes, and the Yarden split. So now, when they were coming back, when Elisha was coming back, he took the aderes of Eliyahu and he hit the Yarden and it split also. And he was able to go across. So Chazal say that was double the ruach of Eliyahu, because when Eliyahu crossed, he had Elisha with him. So it was two tzaddikim. And the Yarden split for two tzaddikim. Now Elisha's coming back by himself. He's only one tzaddik and the Yarden split. So that was double the ruach of Eliyahu and Avi. So right now I'm sure this is all Chazara from your days in Timimah. So now Elisha comes to Yericho, which is the city they had been in before Eliyahu went up to Shamayim. So he comes to Yericho, and in Yericho, the people said to him that the water is bad water. It's mishakeles, it's killing people. We like living here in Yericho, but the water is really bad. So Elisha does a nes b'soch nes. He asks for salt in a new keli, and he pours the salt in the Maitzeh Hamayim, where the water comes from, and the water becomes sweet, and it is healthy, and it no longer kills people. Wonderful. Then he's going to Beis El, and the Pasuk tells us in Malachim Beis, at the end of the second parak, the Pasuk says, Vayal Misham Beis El, V'hu Olev Aderech, he was going up on the road, U'na'arim Kitanim Yatsu Mino Ir, and Na'arim Kitanim came out of the city. Chazal say this is a stira. It's a contradiction. Na'arim Kitanim. A na'ar is someone who is like a teenager. A katan is a child. So it's a stira, na'arim ketanim. Chazal say that they were ketanim in the sense that they were not tzaddikim. They were small people. And na'arim in that they were menu'arim mina mitzvahs. They were empty of mitzvahs. They didn't have mitzvahs. They were small people. So they came out of the city. Vayiskal suvo. They degraded him. They made fun of him. Vayomrulo, they said to him, alei kereach, come up. Kereach, kereach means the bald one. They said a disparaging remark about Elisha. So the pasuk says after that, vayifan acharav, he turned behind him. Vayirem, he saw them. Chazal say he saw that there was nothing good that would come out of them. Rashi says, Shein Bahem Veloy Bizaram Lachluchis Shel Toiva. There was nothing good that would come from them or from their children. Vayekalalem Bishem Hashem, he cursed them in Hashem. Vateitzena Shtaim Dubim in Hayar, and two bears came out of the forest. Vatevakana Mehem Arbaim Mushne Yeladim, and the bears tore up of them 42 young people. 42 of them were killed by these bears. Chazal say this was also a Nes Pesoch Nes because there was no Ya'ar. There was no forest. The forest immediately appeared and bears came out of the forest. Chazal say, so just have the bears. We have to have the bears in the forest. So the Gemara says, because bears without a forest are not as aggressive because they're not in their natural habitat. But when the forest is there, then they are more aggressive. So the forest appeared, the bears came out, and they ripped apart 42 of these people. That's what happened. Elisha is criticized for this, for cursing them, but that's not what we're going to talk about this evening. He's going to get sick because of it, even though they were definitely Avra Avera. Here you have the Gadol Hadar. You have to picture the top Navi means the Gadol Hadar. So you're talking about small people who are making fun of, who are speaking disparagingly about the Gadol Hadar. That's a pretty big Avera. So they deserve what they got. Nevertheless, Elisha and his madrega to curse them, he is going to be criticized for this. But al kolponim, that's what happened. Chazal tell us, why did they speak disparagingly of Elisha? What did they have against Elisha? So everybody remember? No? Okay. So I just want to know if I'm boring everybody with something you already know. So Chazal say, because since Yericho had a problem with the water, they had to ship in bottled water. They needed to buy water from someplace. These Yeladim, these Na'arim, were the ones who provided the water for Yericho. So when Elisha healed the water, these people lost their livelihood. So they were upset, which is understandable that they would be upset. So they were angry at Elisha, so they spoke disparagingly about Elisha, or to Elisha. So their reaction is not acceptable, but we can understand why they were upset. It's because they lost their livelihood. This is similar to, anybody know what it's similar to in the days of David HaMelech? The Givonim who wanted to execute descendants of Shaul HaMelech. Because the Givonim were the Shoave Mayim and the Chutve Eitzim for Novi Arkayinim. So when Noiv was killed out, the Givonim lost their livelihood. And that's why in the days of David, they demanded that they kill descendants of Shaul as an Einish to Shaul. So here, these Yeladim, they did the same thing. Okay, that's the story here in Malachim. Chazal tell us, Lo'olam yasuk adam b'torah mitzvah shaloi lishma, shemitorah shaloi lishma ba lishma. Person should always be involved in Torah mitzvah shaloi lishma, even though we're supposed to do all of our mitzvahs lishma. Lishma means for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means we should always do everything l'shem Hashem only. The only reason why I'm doing this mitzvah is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it, and I want to bring out Kvod Shemayim. That's it. It's for shlemus. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. That's the only reason why I'm doing these mitzvahs. So every mitzvah that we do, really that's what we should be doing. Every time we do whatever mitzvah it is, keep Shabbos, keep Kashrus, we're doing it Lishma. That's the reason. But we're not on that madrega, and many times we have ulterior motives for what we do. We do it because everybody else does it. We do it because that's just the way it is. We do it because we enjoy it. We do it because there's reciprocity that we'll get back. If I listen to my parents, then they'll do things for me as well. And there's always multiple reasons why we do things. But the Chazal say a person should always be Isaac Torah Mitzvah Shaloi Lishma. Should we talk Shaloi Lishma? Ba Lishma. You'll come to do a Lishma. It's a good thing. So Chazal say, what is one of the examples of this Shaloi Lishma? So Chazal say, Balak Melech Moav is one of the examples of doing something Shaloi Lishma. When Balak hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people, we know that Bilam tried three times. Balak took Bilam to three different places from where he could see different segments of the Jewish people, and he tried to get him to curse the Jewish people, and each time it turned into a bracha instead of a klal. Each time Bilam told Balak, B'nei liva zeh shiva mizbechais, build for me seven mizbechais, v'achin liva zeh shiva parim v'shiva elim, and then you should bring 14 karbanos, two on each of these mizbechais. Seven paros, seven elim on each of these mizbechais. So each of the three times, there were seven mizbechais. Each mizbeach had two karbanos. So there was 14 the first time, 14 the second time, 14 the third time. And those of you who are into math know the 14 times 3 is 42. So he brought 42 karbanos at that time. Now those karbanos were brought not as avodah zarah. Bilam told them to bring the karbanos l'shem Hashem. They were brought for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't brought l'shma. Clearly Balak had an ulterior motive. He wanted the Jews to get cursed. But they weren't brought for avodah zarah, they were brought for Hashem. So Chazal say that because Balak brought these karbanos, even though it was not l'shem Hashem, he was zoiche that he should have a very prominent descendant. Who comes from Balak?
Rus.
Excellent. So Balak, a descendant of Balak is Eglon Melech Moav, and from Eglon comes Rus. So why is that Midah Keneged Midah, that Balak should have Rus because he brought Karbanos? Because Rus produces David and Shlomo HaMelech, who bring thousands of Karbanos on the Mizbeach. So he brought 42 Mizbechais. From him comes Rus, who comes David and Shlomo, where thousands of Karbanos are brought because of David and Shlomo Melech. So that's the Midah Keneged Midah. Fine. But Chazal also say that Lemaisa, even though you say Mitach Shlomo Lishma, Bal Lishma, there was something good that came from Balak's Karbanos, Lemaisa, his Kavana was Lera. His Kavana was to curse the Jewish people. Therefore, since his karbanos were lera, it did accomplish that a klala should be able to kill 42 people of the Jewish people. 42 yidden are killed from a klala because of what Balak was trying to do, which was to call a klala Yisrael. And here, in this episode with Elisha, is where it is the niskayim that 42 yidden are killed through a klala because of the intent of Balak. That's what Chazal say.
But those 42 descendants of him?
Nope.
So what?
At least not that we know.
Just
saying.
Because it's a Russia does an avera, therefore 42 yidden should be killed.
Exactly. That's the question. Right. What does one thing have to do with the other? Really, the double question over here. What do these 42 people have to do with Balak? It seems so random. Okay, so 42 people have to be... Okay, fine. Why here? I mean, it could have been any time. What, right? What shaykhas? That's number one. Number two is that if those 42 karbanos that Balak brought bring about Rus, that's what it says, he was zaychad of Rus, and in the negative you have this episode, then Rus and what happens over here has to be Zelu Mazet. They have to correspond to each other. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense that the same Maisa should produce L'toiv Rus and L'ra this episode here, the Tov and the Ra must be two sides of the same coin. They have to have some connection to each other as well. Not just going back to Balak, but to each other, these two polyoitzes of the Maisa have to have some connection to each other. So how do we understand what is happening here in the context of Rus and the context of Balak? And obviously, because we're dealing with Rus, this is going to tie into Shavuos. So what is happening over here with this episode? If you were going to, we actually talked about Rus before in previous years, but if you're going to pick the most significant midah of Rus, really of Megillas Rus, what would be the midah or the mitzvah that you would pull out of Rus, of Megillas Rus, to say that this touches up the whole Megillah, this touches up the whole person of Rus?
Chesed.
Right. Megillas Rus is chesed mitchilas avad saifa. It's all chesed. It's completely about chesed. That is what Megillas Rus is about. Megillas Rus is about the chesed that Rus does for Nami. It's the chesed that Bayaz does for Rus. It's the chesed that Nami does for Rus and for Bayaz. It's all the chasadim that are going on over here between these three great people, Rus, Bayaz, and Nami. That they all are living for the other person. Rus comes back to Eretz Yisrael only for the sole purpose of helping her mother-in-law, so that her mother-in-law should not be alone. She's coming back to abject poverty, and she's coming back to a country that will not welcome a Moavi woman with open arms by any stretch of the imagination. There's intense, I don't know if we want to call it hatred, but there certainly is a prevalent attitude amongst the Jewish people that Moavim should be pushed away. There's no question about it. For sure, the men, but even the women, there was the debate whether you say Moavim v'lo Moavim or Afilo Moavim. And therefore, it was not pushed at all that Rus was going to find anything in Eretz Yisrael. And they were completely impoverished. She had a life of riches if she would stay in Moav, because she came from a melech. She came from a melech Moav. And she came back only for the purpose of chesed to her mother-in-law. Bayaz does chesed with Rus for no other reason other than he says, because I know what you did for your mother-in-law, and therefore I will do chesed for you. That's what he says to her. He doesn't have any havamina of marrying her. That doesn't enter his mind bechlal. First of all, he's 80 years old and she's 40 years old. That's number one. Number two is that he's at this time not thinking of marriage. His wife has just died. That's not where he is right now. And Rus, she's a giyaris from Moav. It's not Pasha that she's worthy of marrying Bayaz, who is the Gadol Hadar. He purely takes care of Rus because Rus is a giyaris and Rus has been Meiser Nefesh for Nami. And Nami orchestrates the meeting of Bayaz in Rus because Nami wants to do chesed with Rus and with Bayaz. In that Bayaz has done chesed for her and for Rus, she wants to reciprocate. Rus has done chesed for her, she wants to reciprocate. So Nami orchestrates the meeting of Bayaz and Rus. The entire Megillah is about chesed. That is what it is about. And that produces David HaMelech. We talked about this before, that Malchus is the three Ksarim, Torah, Kuhuna, and Malchus. Malchus is the one that is represented by Chesed, because the purpose of the king is to provide the needs, the physical needs of the country. That is the main purpose of the king, which is really chesed, to take care of everybody else. That's his purpose. That's why he is in the position he's in. That's what Rus is all about. That's what the Megillah is all about. Even the Loyavoi Amoni, Loyavoi Moavi Bikal Hashem, even that is because they should have come forward Belechem Uvamayim. They should have come forth with lechem v'mayim, b'derech mitzvah l'mitzvah? Why didn't they? Why didn't they come forth? Here, light was saved from Sodom because of Abraham Avinu, and they, the descendants of light are Ammon and Moav. When we left Mitzrayim, they should have reciprocated and brought us lechem v'mayim. Instead, what do? They hire Bilam. They hire Bilam. So Bilam, hiring Bilam, is not only a bad thing that the Moavim did, it is the antithesis of what they should have done. They really should have been mocked in with lechem and mayim, and instead, they go and hire Bilam. So the Moavim were the opposite. They did not do chesed. They really should have felt a need to reciprocate and have done chesed with us when we left Mitzrayim. And just the opposite, not only did they reject the chesed, they go and hire Bilam to curse us. Just the opposite of what they really should have done. Therefore, Moavim and Ammonim are rejected from Klal Yisrael. They may not come into Klal Yisrael. The whole debate of whether the women are allowed in or not allowed in is whether they participated in this rejection of chesed or not. The argument that they should be pushed away, Mayavi v'afilu mayavis, is because even though kokfud bas melech penima, but nevertheless, the women should have come out to bring lechem amayim to the women. The men should have brought to the men, the women should have brought to the women. That's the argument that Mayavi v'afilu mayavis. And therefore, even the women are puzzle. Because they didn't do chesed. They should have done chesed. They didn't. The argument, mayavi v'loy mayavis, which is how we paskin, and which why Rus is muteres, is because kol kvudo bas melech penima overrides the need to do chesed like that. Chesed in a public forum is overridden by the need for tznias. Of hineva oil, of sari imenu, of kol kvudo bas melech penima, that overrides that expression of chesed. So it doesn't prove that the women rejected chesed. So therefore, they're able to come into Klal Yisrael. However, even though it doesn't prove the women rejected chesed, it doesn't show that they embraced chesed. You don't see from the episode of Moav not providing lechem umayim, you don't see either way with the women. With the men, you see they rejected chesed. With the women, you don't see anything. You don't see they rejected chesed because kol kvudo bas melech penima, but you don't see they embraced chesed. We don't know. Rus embraces chesed. So Rus becomes the example of the Moavi woman who embraces chesed. And therefore, she earns her ticket into Klal Yisrael. Not just her ticket into Klal Yisrael, she becomes the Ima Shel Malchus because she embraces chesed. So it's not just pariv that she doesn't reject chesed. She actually embraces chesed and as a result becomes Ima Shel Malchus. Bilam, hiring Bilam, becomes the symbol of the rejection of chesed. Whereas Rus is the symbol of embracing chesed. These people here in the time of Elisha, so they lost their livelihood. Now, losing one's livelihood is a terrible thing. And it's cause for being worried. But there are many reactions a person could have to losing their livelihood. They can be angry if there's someone they feel they can blame. And here there is someone they felt they could blame. They could be sad. They could daven. They could ask for help. There's different ways of reacting. They reacted with anger towards Elisha. But it's not just that their reaction was inappropriate. What could they have done instead? Here you have the Navi Elisha, who just made a huge nace and made the water better. Maybe he could give you a job too. Right? Maybe you could ask him to help you. Wouldn't that make sense? Go to Elisha and say, listen, we really love what you did, but we got hurt. So maybe he'll make an ace for you too. And there's plenty that could be done over here. But that's not their reaction. So it's a very, very inappropriate reaction. But it's more than that. It's more than inappropriate. I was discussing this over Shabbos, and my wife pointed this out, that there's an incredible selfishness over here. Why was the water healed? It was healed because the water was killing people, and it was impossible to have a proper yishuv in the area because of how bad the water was. Elisha wasn't trying to hurt these people. He was trying to help a whole bunch of other people. So, okay, there was a collateral damage in what happened. But a person who can see beyond themselves could see that what hurt me helped a lot of people. So even though I'm not happy, but okay, I need to work within the system because the fact of the matter is it helped a whole bunch of other people. To insist that I want the water to remain bad because that's my job, even though it's hurting a whole bunch of other people, that's an incredible selfishness. That's a self-centeredness that's hard to parallel. That's a real selfish approach to life. A person like that is the antithesis of chesed. Because chesed is being selfless. It's worried about the other person. The person who is selfish is focused on themselves. Had these people been balei chesed, they would have been ecstatic that other people were helped. They would still have to deal with their own loss of livelihood. You can't just have no money to put food on the table. You got to deal with that. But they would not have reacted the way they did had they been balei chesed. Had that been their mantra, that we provide water to the people of Yericho because Nebuch they don't have, agav, we get paid. Yes, of course we get paid because we're doing work. But the reason why we're providing water for the people of Yericho is because Nebuch, they have nothing to drink. So we feel for them. Yes, it's a livelihood, but the livelihood is secondary to the fact that we're providing water for people who don't have water. They could have been huge balei chesed. All it takes is a different attitude. It's the same work. Fill up the bottle, the buckets of water, carry them to Yericho. That's all it is. Every day do the same thing. The question is, what are you going to think about? Are you going to think about the fact that you're helping the people of Yericho? Or are you going to think about how you're padding your pockets with money and you'll be able to fast tonight because now you have food to put on the table? What are you thinking about when you're doing the exact same act? Had these people been balei chesed, the water being healed would not have been a cause to become angry. It would have been a cause to be happy for them that the water was better. Now, I lost my job. I got to figure out how I'm going to make money now. But that you see from their reaction that they were not thinking of chesed when they were providing water for the people of Yericho. They were thinking of themselves only. And therefore, when the water got healed, it is met with anger. We've lost what I had. I'm hurt. I'm in trouble. It's completely about me. That's what it was all about the whole time. So therefore, they are the expression of the rejection of chesed. So when Balak is bringing these karbanos, and he has hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people, which is a rejection of chesed. So the shaloi lishma produces rus, which is the opposite of what Balak was doing. It's the opposite of Bilam. It's the opposite of the rejection of chesed. It's the embracing of chesed. But lamaisa, as the Gemara says, his kavana was lera. His kavana was a rejection of chesed. That finds expression over here with these 42 people who are rejecting chesed. And therefore, the 42 karbanos results in the death of Tafka, these 42 people, because they're doing the same thing that the Moyavim were doing, the Moyavim men were doing. That's what these people represent. And therefore, the same Maisa that produces Rus here destroys these people. Any questions on that connection?
Yeah. I still don't see the connection between just because I understand how they're both considered a rejection, how both the Aram and Balaam, they're both a rejection of Chesed. But how does Balaam's action, I don't see the connection between Balaam's actions and the Aram's actions because they're two totally separate people, they're totally not related.
Right.
Like, how does, just because The Rasha did an Avera, therefore Jews should do an Avera.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, no, it's a good point. It's Balak we're talking about, Balak hiring Bilam, but yeah. Balak bringing the Karbanos. Yeah, the Gemara seems to be saying that since he really did bring Karbanos, Hashem Hashem, but he did a Lara, so they are pile. They do something. And they do what he wanted to do, which was to be Mekalal Klal Yisrael. So here it's a Klala, because Elisha curses them. So the Klala enables what he wanted, which was a klala, to find expression. But it has to be chal on the right kind of person.
So basically, even though Hashem switched Bilam's klala to a bracha, Hashem didn't switch it 1,000%
yeah.
Because there was still a little bit.
Yeah, the Gemara says even Bilam's brachas ended up all becoming klalas in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one. The Gemara says all of them except for one ended up becoming klalas later on.
So it worked.
To an extent, yeah.
So the same idea that a curse has to come true to some extent.
Well, only the Kilas Tzaddik. This one, the Balaks didn't have to, but because he brought Karbanos, it seems like the Chazal is saying that Lemaisa he had that Zchus, and that worked against us. That's what it seems like Chazal are saying over there. So you see from here it brings out the point that a lot of times. You know, when we think about doing chesed, so we think about pushing ourselves in situations where we otherwise would not have done it. So somebody calls up and needs a ride to the airport. I was really planning on doing something else now, but I'll do a chesed. I'll take them to the airport. Someone calls up and needs me to come over to help them with something. I was really going to do something else right now. I'll go and help the person. So I'm giving of myself. I wasn't planning on doing this, that, or that. And so it's a chesed. And of course, all those things are chasadim. But very often, chesed is doing exactly what we are already doing. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily require doing something we wouldn't have done otherwise. Of course, doing something we wouldn't have done otherwise is also chesed, and it's a very powerful chesed. But chesed can also be doing exactly what I'm doing now, but with the correct attitude. That what I'm doing is helping somebody else, and that's the main reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. That is chesed. And it makes a big difference, because when what I'm doing no longer becomes necessary, what's my feeling? Is my feeling excitement because Baruch Hashem, the person was helped. So now I'm not needed anymore, which is a great thing because my main reason for doing this was chesed in the first place. So I'm very happy. Or am I deflated or dejected because I really had other intentions over here and now I can't get out of this what I was trying to get out of it. Because really I was thinking about me, not about the other person. A lot of times, what we're already doing, it's simply a question of focusing, of I want to do this for the other person, not for other reasons. At least to elevate the reason for the other person rather than for myself. There's a lot of times when women have large families, particularly have small children. So mothers with small children really become very wrapped up with their children. It's very hard not to. Small children are a lot of work, as you all know. And when a woman becomes, when a woman enters that stage of life, they really do become consumed by that stage of life. It's very hard not to be. Life is very, very busy. And little children are very, very demanding. I don't want to say often, but a lot of times when that happens, a woman will say, I can no longer do the things that I used to do for Klal Yisrael. I used to be a big balas chesed. I used to do so much. I would volunteer here and I would volunteer there and someone needed help, I would run to help them. I did so much. But now that I'm a mother and I'm wrapped up with my own things, so I'm busy with myself. I'm busy with my own family and therefore I'm not really the balas chesed I used to be. That's a very common feeling that women have. But the emes is that every time a mother attends to her children, whether it's small children or not small children, older children as well, every time a parent attends to a child, that is chesed. It's taking care of somebody else. It's not me. I'm up in the middle of the night, not for me. I'm up in the middle of the night to feed this child. That means I'm doing something for another human being. I'm bathing, feeding, clothing another human being. It's not me. It's the other person. If it's an older child, I'm providing emotional support, I'm providing a listening ear, I'm providing advice, whatever it is, for someone other than myself. All of that is chesed, because chesed is defined as doing something for somebody else rather than for me. That's what chesed is. The reason why people in that stage feel that they're not doing for other people is because they say, what do you mean? It's my children. I'm responsible. Of course I have to take care of the child. That's not chesed. It's for me that I'm doing this. But that's an attitude. That's a question of thinking it through as an attitude. Why am I taking care of this child? Is it true that it's my responsibility? Yes, it is my responsibility. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me this responsibility? Yes, I have this responsibility. But the fact of the matter is, it is another human being. And doing for another human being is chesed. And the chesed that a person does with their own family is the primary chesed that they have. Meaning, what's the responsibility HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a parent when HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted a parent a child? What's the responsibility that he gave them? He gave the parents the responsibility of chesed. That's the responsibility he gave them. He said to the parent, until now, you've had the option of whether you're going to take this chesed opportunity. Are you going to drive your friend to the airport? Are you going to help? Right? Yeah, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You can decide. But now you're locked in. It's your responsibility. I'm giving you a chiyuv of chesed that you can't worm your way out of. If you don't get up in the middle of the night, no one's going to feed this child. You've got to get up. So you're forced into chesed. But it's still chesed. Just because you're forced into it doesn't mean it's not chesed. It all depends on what you're thinking when you're doing it. Am I doing it for? Am I thinking about I'm helping another human being? Or am I thinking about myself? That's the whole difference. And the attitude a person has completely transforms the ma'isa that they are doing. When my wife speaks to women about their connection to Yomim Tovim, this is particularly true when it comes to things like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where that's a real big difference to a woman pre-children and post-children. Because pre-children, so women go to shul and they daven, and post-children, it's impossible. So everything gets completely changed around. Yom Kippur with small children becomes a whole different experience than Yom Kippur without small children. So when she speaks to women on this subject, so she points out to them that the stage of life a person is in determines what their avodah is at that time. And at that moment in time, a woman's primary avodah is chesed. And there is nothing else that they can focus on but chesed. If you have small children, you are a 24/7 chesed machine. That's all you are. But it depends on your attitude. Because if you think it through and call it chesed, then that is what it'll be. But if you don't think it through, it will become, I'm doing it for me. It's me. I need to do this. I need to do that. When am I going to sleep? When am I going to eat? It's all about me. It's not about the other person. It's not about the fact that I'm taking care of somebody else. And very often, that's the way chesed works. This is true that the case I'm using of the small children is where it is most obvious. But the truth is, it's true in our lives all the time. There's plenty of times where what we're doing anyway, if you focus on the chesed, then it becomes a chesed. And otherwise, it becomes selfish. And just because I was going to the airport anyway, so you coming along with me, it's still chesed. It's still chesed. Just because I was going anyway does not mean it's not a chesed. I'm still helping somebody else. It has to do with where is my brain when I'm doing what I'm doing. With Shavuos being Kabbalas HaTorah, the real focus of the Yontif with Rus is chesed. That's really what it's about. David HaMelech being born and his Yartzeit being on Shavuos means it is the Yontif of Malchus, even though, of course, Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. But the Malchus of Malchus based David is Shavuos. We talked about in previous years the connection between that and Matan Torah. But the whole Indian of Malchus based David, it is the Yontif of Chesed. And one can really focus and shift their attitude in a lot of ways about Chesed through the Yontif of Shavuos. It's a time that's very mesugal for that purpose. And so this Maisa with Rus and the 42 Yaladim here and Balak, Bilam, etc., Elisha, all of this is a snapshot to bring that out. But the Avaida of making my attitude, a chesed attitude, is one that can be kind of through the Antif of Shavuos. Any questions? Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Isn't there like any danger in switching your thought to what you're doing already to be chesed? Because then you could be thinking like everything I'm doing is chesed when it's not, you're really doing it for yourself.
Switching your attitude doesn't mean tricking yourself. It means thinking of the other person. So let's say I'm going to the airport anyway, right? And you need a ride. So I'm going, and you call me up and say, oh, I'm going anyway, right? But if I'm thinking about you rather than about me, then what I'm focused on is that you need a ride. So I want to provide that ride. I want that more than I want to go to the airport myself. I want to provide the ride. So it doesn't make any difference because I'm going anyway, but it can make a difference. Things can happen during the ride that will determine whether my main focus is you or my main focus is me. So it can be subtle things like, you know, where I park, depending on where you have to go and where I have to go, right? If I'm more focused on you than on me, I'm going to look for a place to park that's closer for you and further for me, right? That's a subtle thing. Or I'm in the middle of going and it turns out that you forgot something at home. So how happy am I to turn around and go back when it's going to make me a little bit late, right? If I'm focused on you, so of course I go, what do you mean? Of course we're going to go back. But then, because the whole point of here is chesed. It just changes what the focus is. I'm not talking about tricking myself into thinking that I'm doing chesed and I'm really not. I'm talking about honestly focusing on the other person rather than on myself. Yeah.
Well, let's say you're really not going to the airport for the other person. If the other person, if you're going to the airport because you have a flight to make, and if you didn't have a flight, you would be at home doing something else and you wouldn't have offered to take this person because you don't have an extra 25 minutes on your hands right now, an hour, whatever it is. So you really wouldn't be taking this other person. So how can you change it then?
No, you're right. You're right. If you say to yourself, I really have no interest in doing this, I'm going anyway, so come on, all right, fine. Then you're right. Then it wouldn't be chesed, or at least the attitude wouldn't be chesed. You probably get some credit for chesed a little bit, but it's a very low-level chesed. What I'm talking about is working on oneself to say I want to do this for the other person. That's what I want to do. That's the difference. Is that when I wasn't going to take the other person to the airport, but Lamaisa, they're in my car.
Yeah.
So now they're in my car. So let me take this opportunity to make it about them instead of about me. And it could be it won't make any difference, mm-hmm. but it might.
So I guess you could say, if I here you're not losing any time. So you could say if I wouldn't lose any time, then yes, it's all about the other person.
There are inconveniences that happen. Most of the time when there's someone else there, there's certain inconveniences that happen.
Yeah.
For whatever it is, you know.
So you can say, okay.
when you have another person, they never do exactly what you expected them to do, right? Whatever it is, you know, they ended up bringing food in the car, they got crumbs all over your seat, whatever, things happen, right? So if your attitude is the other person, then it's all right. Okay, I wish you have a good yontif.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.